Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Brachos Daf Mem Beis. Yesterday we got up to the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis in Masechet Brachos. The discussion yesterday was about Hamotzi. A person begins the meal with bread, with Hamotzi, and then other things maybe are brought during the meal. Should those things get their own bracha? Are they included in the Hamotzi? And we saw at the very end yesterday, Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Hilchos Halachos like this. Things that are coming for the bread, that's the way Rashi explains, within the meal. So let's say they brought out hummus, ain't tunim bracha, that doesn't need a bracha, lo lifnei v'lo achrei, not before and afterwards. That's all brought to give some taste to the bread. So the bread is, you made the bracha on the bread already. What about shalom machmas hasuda? There are things that are being brought that are not really accompaniments to bread. But it's besocha suda. They're brought in the middle of the meal. Let's say grapes, figs. Tunim bracha lifneim. So that gets a bar priya eitz. They ain't tunim bracha lachrem. They don't need a blessing afterwards. Achra suda. Then if they brought food after the meal, tunim bracha ben lifneim ben lachrem. That needs a blessing beforehand as well as afterwards. Because, you know, Rashi says, again, this is Rashi's view, the things that are brought after the meal, like fruits after a meal, that's not really a davar hamazin. So it's not included in Birkas HaMazon. It needs its own bracha afterwards, too. That's the way Rashi reads it.
So let's say Friday night, we finish eating, we clear most of the table, and maybe we'll bring out fruit, and we make a bracha then, let's say strawberries. Make a bracha of Adam of the strawberries, and then make a...
Burin of fashas. That's the view of Rashi. That's how Rashi reads this line. Other
that's
Rishonim,
not the way we paskin.
That's not the way we currently paskin.
The Birkas HaMazon would be enough.
Correct. We paskin that the Birkas HaMazon is enough, like Tosos here. We don't paskin like Rashi. Okay. Shalu es ben Zoma. Now starting today's daf. I'm Aleph on the base here still. Five lines to the bottom. They asked Ben Zoma, Mipnei ma'amru dvar ma'bayim machmas ha'suda b'soch ha'suda enam tunim bracha lo lifneim v'lo lachrein. Why'd they say the things that are brought during the meal, for the meal, in other words, hummus, some meat with potatoes, rice with cooked tomatoes, so that comes into the meal, you eat it with some bread, eat it with your lafa, that doesn't need a bracha before, it doesn't need a bracha after. Why? So I'm a lamb. So Ben Zoma answered them. Holupas potrasim. Because the bread exempts them. The main thing is the bread. We made the blessing on the bread. These things are condiments to the bread. They are supporting the bread. So the bread exempted them. Iyachi, if that's the case, yayinami niftere pas. When somebody started a meal and then they brought him wine in the middle of the meal, so we make a blessing on the wine. Why? Let the bread exempt the wine. So Zera answered, Shani Yayin. Wine is different. It has prominence. It needs to get its own blessing. To go rain bracha la'atzmo. Since wine causes a blessing for itself, that's why wine brought during the meal gets its own blessing. Now, what does it mean wine causes a blessing for itself? So I saw last night a shir where it was quoted, there are three explanations in the Rishonim, three explanations in the medieval commentators for this line of Yayin Gorim Bracha La'atzmo, wine causes a blessing for itself. Rashi says, Bekam Mekomo Subat, several, many places you bring it, when you recite a blessing on the wine, even though you don't need it for drinking. But let's say you're not thirsty, but it's Friday night. You still need wine. You're under the chuppah. It's time for the sheva brachos. You need wine. You may not want to drink it, but you still need to have it because you need to organize sheva brachos on wine. You know, shir el alayin. We only can compose our songs when we link them to wine, like in the Beis HaMikdash, Leviim would sing when the wine would be poured on the Mizbeach. So that's why it has this prominence that you sometimes bring it even not to drink it, just for the blessings you have to say on it. And that's why when it was brought in the middle of a meal, the hamotzi doesn't work for it. You have to make a separate blessing on the wine. Other commentators, Tosos here, they say another explanation They say, we would have thought normally when you have a fruit and then you turn the fruit into a juice, so the blessing would be something like Borei Pri HaAdama, or maybe Borei Pri HaEitz, if it's primarily for the fruit juice, Shahakol. But here with wine, you get a better blessing on the juice than you get on the fruit. The fruit is a Borei Pri HaEitz. Yeah. The wine gets a Borei Pri HaGafen, more precise blessing. It creates the fruit of the vine. So that prominence that it moves up in terms of its blessing makes it so special that even though it was brought in the middle of a meal, the main part of the meal is the bread, that's what's filling you up, the wine gets its own blessing. It's not included in the bread. Rabbeinu Chananel gave another explanation. He said, we're going to learn in a Mishnah soon, that whenever you make a blessing on wine, it could include other things. So if you make a blessing on bread, you sit down, you go to a winery in Israel, you say, Borei Pri HaGafen, you drink a cup of wine, you say, you know what, let me have some water. You don't make a shakel on the water. The Borei Pri HaGafen of wine works for all the other liquids. So since wine has this prominence that it works for other liquids too, that's why if it's brought in the middle of the meal, it requires its own blessing. So Rav Yashiv suggested, he thinks there would be a difference between these different reasons in our days, because in our days many of us don't like wine, we like grape juice. Now, would the same law be in regards to grape juice? I sat down to eat a meal. This morning I go home, I wash, I eat, I make amotzi on some pizza, and I say, you know, let me have some grape juice. I go take out my Welch's grape juice from the fridge and have some grape juice. Do I need to make a Borei Pri HaGafen on the grape juice that comes in the middle of a meal? If you say that the prominence of wine is because wine can be used for Sheva Brachos, grape juice can be used for Sheva Brachos. Make a new Borei Pri HaGafen on the grape juice. If you say the prominence of the wine is because the wine moves up in blessings, it doesn't become a shahakol, even though it's a liquid, it doesn't become a Borei Pri HaAdama, it becomes a Borei Pri HaGafen. So that would apply to grape juice too. But if you say it's the issue that the Borei Pri HaGafen of wine can exempt other liquids, that may not apply to grape juice. Because many Rishonim say that the logic is that since wine creates so much joy, it has prominence. What creates joy is the alcohol. The grape juice doesn't have alcohol. It doesn't create joy. You wouldn't fulfill your mitzvah of drinking on Purim with grape juice, because grape juice doesn't have that element of v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. So maybe it doesn't have it. Many Rishonim say it doesn't have the concept. You make a Borei Pri HaGafen on it, then you don't need to make a shahakal on your water that you want to have later. So then if you bring grape juice out to the table, you shouldn't make a new Borei Pri HaGafen on the grape juice. Anyway, Rav Yashiv says, though, since the other Rishonim, their reason would apply to grape juice, that should be the psak. If you're eating bread and then you decide to have grape juice, you do make a Borei Pri HaGafen on the grape juice. Okay, so that completes the discussion of wine brought in the middle of a meal. We're going to come back to it soon. Now we're going to move on to a very important topic, and that's the topic called Pas Haba'a B'Kisnin. It's hard to define a Pas Haba'a B'Kisnin, but we'll see. We're going to talk about it for a little bit. Rav Huna achal tlesa rifti. Rav Huna ate 13 loaves, and it wasn't regular bread. It was bread of this Pas Haba'a B'Kisnin, the bread that comes with kisnin. We'll see what kisnin are. B'nei tlasa tlasa b'kava. They were loaves that three of them would equal a kav. V'lo b'arich, and he didn't recite the Birkas HaMazon afterwards. So I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to him, Adei kafta, you're so hungry, you eat so much, and you're still full. I'm saying you're still hungry, even after you eat so much. So what? That doesn't matter. Ela kol sha'acherim kovan alav su'uda. Whatever other people would make as a full meal, Tzarech Levarech, you have to recite Birkas HaMazon afterwards. He's saying, listen, Adei Kafna, you're acting like someone who's extremely hungry, eats a ton, he's still very hungry. So you're not full yet. You didn't have a meal yet. So what? But other people, for them, this is a meal. For other people, 13 loaves would be a meal. So if for others it's a meal, that's already enough to recite a Birkas HaMazon. So again, we're going to see some more now about the Pas Haba'a B'Kisnin. Rav Yehuda v'asak le'lebrei bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Rav Yehuda was marrying off his son with the household of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. In other words, he was marrying off his son to the daughter of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. We're on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Aisu le'kamayu Pas Haba'a B'Kisnin. So they brought before them this bread coming with the kisnin. So what is Pas Haba'a B'Kisnin? There are different explanations. The Shulchan Aruch quotes three explanations, three different opinions in the medieval authorities. One is that it's a bread, a dough, that has a pocket, and the pocket is filled with nuts, apples, fruits. Sounds like a strudel or an apple pie. That would be a pasa baba. Yeah, it's like a dough, and inside the dough there's sweet stuff.
Okay.
Another explanation that the Rishonim give is that it's dough that had in it, instead of just water, it had in it fruit juice or sugar. There's sugar put into the dough. And a third opinion is that it's a cracker. So it really doesn't look like bread. It's very thin. It's a little cracker. So these are the three opinions of Pasa Baba Kissin. So whatever it was, one of these things, Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, he was at the wedding because he was marrying off his son to the daughter. I'm sorry, Rav Yehuda was marrying off his son to the daughter of Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva. And they brought to the guests this Pasa Baba Kissin. Ki Asa, so when Rav Yehuda came to the wedding of his own son, Shaminu, we heard the guests to come avarchi hamotzi, that they're reciting hamotzi on the Pasa Baba Kisnin. Amalui said to him, my tzitzi to kashmana. What's this tzitza sound that I'm hearing? Why am I hearing motzi, motzi? Dilma motzi lechman aretz, come avarchisu. Are you possibly reciting the blessing of hamotzi lechman aretz? And apparently, on Pasa Baba Kisnin, we should not be reciting hamotzi lechman aretz. Amrile, they said to him, we are saying hamotzi lechman aretz. It's time we look at a braisa, Remuna om Mishum Reb Yehuda. Emunah says in the name of Yehuda, Pasa Baba Kisnin, this bread, either the bread with sugar, or bread with fruits inside of it, or the cracker, Mevarchan Aleha Motzi, we make on it the blessing of Amotzi. V'amar Shmuel and Shmuel said, Alacha Kreb Muna. Amalu, Reb Yehuda said to them, no, ain't Alacha Kreb Muna Itmar. Shmuel said, Alacha is not the Kreb Muna. This is not a bread. You don't make a meal on this. This should get a mizonos, maybe, because whatever it has from the five grains gets a mizonos, but this doesn't get a bread, it doesn't get a motzi blessing. Amrile, they said, V'hamaru da'am mishmei d'shmuel, but you, our master, said in the name of Shmuel, Lachmanios. Lachmanios is apparently a roll, another type of a pasa baba kistin. When I first learned this Gemara, I thought back to when I was a kid, and my parents sent me to Kaitana in Israel. So it's a different culture, Kaitana in Israel, from camp in America. It's like 6 days of camp. That's it for the whole summer. And the big treat was lachmaniyim sakit shoko. They'd give you a loaf. This was lunch. A loaf of, not a loaf, it was this, like half a little roll, right? A small roll, a small roll and a bag of chocolate milk. And you eat the roll with the bag of chocolate milk. That was lunch. That was lunch in the Kaitzana. Lachmaniyim shoko.
It's filling.
What's that?
It's filling.
It's filling, right? So that when I learned this Gemara, they speak of lachmaniyot, which is some sort of a pasa baba kisnin. I thought of that, you know? It's like, I'm not even sure if it's a bread. It's got, you know, I guess it is a bread because you could, in theory, eat it with eggs. But it's that type of a food that it's like a... I guess it's like a Danish, lachmaniyot. These are the Danishes. So lachmaniyot, you said in the name of Shmuel, ma'arvin bahen, you can make an Erev Chatzeros with them. All the different houses that open up to a common courtyard can join in by putting lachmaniyot in a basket in one house, and that would make an Erev Chatzeros that we'd be able to carry on Shabbos. U'mevarchan alein amotzi, and we recited in amotzi, so why are you giving us a hard time for saying amotzi on the Pasa Baba Kisnin at your son's wedding? So Rav Yehuda answered, Shani Hasam, there it's different. Tekavas Udase Alayhu. He makes his meal on that. The meal in the Kaitana was Lachmaniyam Shoko. So the Lachmaniya is a meal. Avalechad lo kavas Udase Alayhu lo. But if it's not your meal, then you don't say Amotzi on Pasa Baba Kisnin. You say Boramine Mizonos on Pasa Baba Kisnin. So when you have a meal of apple strudel, you're eating, I don't know, 6 eggs worth of apple strudel, and then you'll have some water to wash it down. Yeah, you should wash and say hamotzi, even though it's Pasa Baba Kisnin.
Like that one slice of pizza debate.
This is exactly where the one slice of pizza debate comes in. So the one slice of pizza debate is this idea that Pizza is a pasaba b'kisnin. It's bread. It doesn't have the shape of bread. It has other stuff on it, like the pasaba b'kisnin had other stuff in it. So if you make a meal of it, then you'd make a hamotzi. But if you're not making a meal out of it, it's a snack, then it's borei mizonos. And we learn another very important halacha here in this Gemara. The definition of a meal is not really subjective. It's objective. We saw that earlier because he was eating 13 loaves of pasaba b'kisnin. He didn't want to make a birkas hamazon. They said to him, no, but other people are filled with that. So it's what is objectively a meal. If something is objectively a meal out of this stuff, and you ate that amount, even if for you you're still hungry, you should be reciting hamotzi and birkas hamazon.
I don't think the quantity, I think it's a machshava.
I think also there's an objective quantity of what is kviya suda. For him, it's not enough. It doesn't matter.
Quick question, though, Rabbi.
Please. Yes.
You know, what's the ikker, the fish or the rice?
I think we'll get to an adaf and dalet also, but I think the ish. Well, we'll talk about ikker and tafel on adaf and dalet. But the question is, what's the main thing?
I think the rice
is probably the biggest filler, I would think. That's the main thing. Get a mizonos.
Can we say mizonos on TV?
I do, personally. I don't know what other people do. Rav Papa, Ikla Lepe Rav Huna. Rav Papa once came to the home of Rav Huna, Bred Rav Nasan. Of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nasan. Okay, so he came, he was a guest at the home of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nasan. Basa the Garmi Suda Sayu, after they finished eating, then they brought something else to eat. Shaka Rav Papa v'ka'achil. Rav Papa took and he ate, and he didn't make a bracha. They said to him, Lo several amar, doesn't our master Rav Papa agree that Gamar, once you finish eating, asumi lechol, you can't keep eating further? Because once you finished eating, you've distracted from your original blessings. You have to say Birkas HaMazon. And then you can, you know, eat again when you decide to eat more. Amalui said, no, I don't think that once you finish eating. Silek Yitmar. My interpretation is once they've removed the food from the table, if they removed all the food from the table, if they cleared the table, then you have to say Birkas HaMazon. Then your meal's over. But if you finished eating, but there's still food around, no. Nah, the meal's still ongoing.
So 72 minutes?
We'll see. We'll see here. So the question is, what is the end of the meal?
To bring another
what's that?
Dessert. What if they're clearing the meal to bring them the dessert?
Good, we're going to get to that. So again, the question is, what is the end of a meal? So one opinion is, the end of the meal is when you're finished. You're not interested in eating further. Then more food comes out, it's too late already. You should bench. After benching, eat more. Second opinion is, no. When you're finished, it's not enough. It's still a meal. If the table's been cleared, then already the meal's done. Rav and Rav Zeira, Iklu Lebei Resh Galusa. They were once guests at the house of the Resh Galusa. Here was more than clearing the table. Lebasa de Saliku Taka Mikamayu. Here they removed the table from in front of them. So we know in those days they used to eat by reclining on a couch with a little table. The table was already removed. And then Shadu Le Rista. Then they sent some dessert of meat. From the house of the Resh Galusa. Rava Achel, Rava ate it without a bracha. Rabzer lo Achel, Rabzer wouldn't eat it because he said, I have to bench. Amalasi said, Lo Savol Amar, don't you agree that Silek, once all the food's removed, the table's removed, Asim Ilechel, you can't eat until you bench. Amalasi said, no, Anan Ataka de Resh Galusa Samchina. I'm a guest. So I'm relying on the table of my host, the Resh Galusa. He's still eating. I don't know what his plans are. So if his plans are to continue to eat, I also might continue to eat. So therefore, I was always thinking I might still eat. So therefore, the blessings from the beginning are still working, and I don't recite Birkas HaMazon. I'm a Rav. Rav proposes. What's the end of a meal? Haragil b'shemet. People who regularly end their meal by putting oil on their hands as like an ointment. Then shemen ma'akvo. And the oil will prevent the meal from ending. So long as he hasn't put the oil on, the meal is ongoing, and he could keep eating without a blessing. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, Ki avinam be'er Rav Kahana, when I was at the home of Rav Kahana, Amar Lani told us, Kigon anadu regilu b'mishcha, like us who are used to having oil on our hands, mishcha v'akvalan, oil is going to prevent us from ending the meal. If we haven't yet put on the oil, then the meal is still ongoing. And now to get to Ilan's question, what's the halacha? V'lesil chasakachal anishmaitza. Halacha is not like any of these opinions. We don't say that you ended the meal. Okay, that means the meal's over. when you finished eating. We don't say that the meal's cleared, the meal's over. We don't say the table's removed, the meal's over. We don't say you didn't put on the oil yet, so the meal's still going. None of those ideas. You could have put on the oil, and the table was removed, and the table was cleared, and you finished eating, and the meal's still ongoing. What is the end of the meal? Like Rav Chaya bar Ashi said the name of Rav. This is what the end of the meal is. Mayim Achronim. When you wash your hands at the end of the meal. When you wash your hands at the end of the meal's over. After that, no eating. Bench right away. And if you're really desperate to eat, so you have to bench and then make a bracha on the food you want to have after Mayim Achronim. There are three things where you do the second thing right after the first. Tekef l'smicha shchita. Right after you lean on a karban, you do the smicha. Right after you do the second thing, you shecht it. Tekef l'geula tefila. Right after you say the blessing of Gal Yisrael, the blessing of Shema, Gal Yisrael, right afterwards you do Shmona Esrei. You don't wait at all. And tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha. Right after you wash your hands with Mayim Achronim. That's when you say the blessing of Birkas Hamazon. So the conclusion of the Gemara is, what ends a meal? Not removing the table, not washing your hands, not what's after removing the table, putting oil on the hands, certainly not earlier stages of finishing all the food, with the food still on the table. No. What ends a meal is the Mayim Achronim. People wash their fingertips to get rid of the salt and the dirt that may have gotten on their nails and they don't want it to get into their eyes. When they wash their fingertips, that's what ends the meal. After that, right away, you should bench. Right away, don't delay. Yeah, question, Ilan.
Nowadays, which not everyone's naig to wash their hands, what would be a ikov, like, that would end the meal?
So, according to those views that don't wash their hands, I think saying Shir HaMalos or Al Naharos Bava, when you prepare for benching, when you say, let's bench, that's going to be the end of the meal.
Once you say that,
if you say, we're going to bench now, let's bench, that's it.
Like taking off the knives or something like that. Also,
maybe. Amar Abaya said, Afan and Omar, we're talking about things that one thing comes right next to the next. We'll add something else. Tekev l'talmidei chachamim bracha. Right after the Torah scholars, you get a blessing. So if you host a Torah scholar, if you cause benefit to a Torah scholar, right away you get a blessing. Shneim, as it says, Vayivarcheni Hashem Biglalecha. Lavan said, I know Hashem blessed me because of you, Yaakov. Or if we have it from Yosef and Potiphar. Shneim, as it says, Vayivarech Hashem is based on Mitzri, Biglal Yosef. Hashem blessed the house of the Egyptian Potiphar because of Yosef. Okay, next Mishnah. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah, in those days, Rashi explains here, Noagim hayu lahavi kodam achila kos yayin lishtos. They had the custom that before they would eat, they would bring a cup of wine to drink. And then after the wine, mevi'im lefrim parparos lahamshech achila. Then they would bring appetizers to get them hungry, like pargiot, baby chickens, and dagim, little herring. Achar kach mevi'in ha-shulchan. Then they bring out the table with all the food on it. After they finished eating, Yoshvin, they would sit, Vishotim, and they would drink some more, Vaochlim, and they'd have some desserts. What would they eat at the end? Also, other types of appetizers, like sweet rolls, and they would have wine and snacks, and then they'd bench. So that was their normal meal. So now the question is going to become, if you said a Borei Piagafen on the wine before the appetizers, does that work for the wine of dessert? So says the Mishnah, Birich al hayayin shelifnei hamazon. If you made the blessing of Borei Piagafen on the wine before the appetizers and before the main course, Pater es hayayin shel achra hamazon. So that wine blessing will exempt the wine that comes at the end of the meal as part of the dessert from a blessing. Birich al parper shelifnei hamazon. If you made a blessing on the appetizers before the main course, Pater es parper shel achra hamazon. So let's say he says a mazonos on a stuffed borekas, and then they bring out for dessert a cookie. That mizonos for the borekas worked for the cookie too. Birich ala pas, if he makes a blessing on bread, patres aparperes, that already exempts you from making a blessing on the appetizer puff pastry. Ala parperes, if he made a bracha on the puff pastry, Lo patra es apas. That doesn't exempt you from a blessing on the bread. The bread is the main thing. Beshamayom beshamay say aflo ma'is sekdera. A blessing, these blessings wouldn't even work for oatmeal and farina, you know, things that are cooked. You know, we saw before, wheat ground into two pieces or four pieces or five pieces. That's ma'isek deira. That wouldn't, we'll see which blessing doesn't work for ma'isek deira. One opinion is that parparis doesn't work for ma'isek deira. Another opinion is that Beishama is saying that even a motzi doesn't work for ma'isek deira. Ma'isek deira requires its own blessing. Now let's say they're sitting to eat a meal. In those days, again, they used to recline. So if each person is sitting, that means it's not a permanence. If it's not permanence, that means I'm eating by myself and you're eating by yourself, and I can't make a blessing for each, for you. Each person has to make a blessing for himself. But if we're all reclining together, one can make a blessing for all. Next. Mem beis amid beis. Balem yayin besoch hamazon. Let's say wine is brought to them in the middle of the meal. Each person should recite a blessing for himself. If the wine is first brought after the meal, the dessert wine, one recites a blessing for all. Now this person who recites a blessing for all is given the privilege of reciting other blessings. After they would eat, they would bench, and after they would bench, they would have a little smoke. They would bring out incense, and everyone would smell in the burning incense, and it would clear everything out. So one person has to make a bracha of borei atzei besamim or borei mina besamim, depending on what type of incense it is. So that person who made the bracha on the wine of dessert, he gets the privilege of making the bracha on the mugmar. That's the incense. Even though they only bring the incense after the whole meal, after benching, nevertheless, since he started with the blessings of the end, he continues with the blessings of the end. All right, now talking about the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah was that the blessing of Boer Piyagafen on the wine before the meal works to exempt the wine that's brought out for the dessert at the end of the meal. Am Rabba Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Barchanas the name Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shan, we didn't learn this law, El B'Shabbas Yom Tov. Only on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because then you have a lot of wine. So at a Shabbos meal and a Yom Tov meal, you know there's going to be a lot of wine. This gets to what David brought up at the beginning of our learning this morning. When you know there's going to be a lot of wine, you make a bracha of Boer Piyagafen at the beginning, and you know you're covered for later too. But let's say you're eating not on a Shabbos or Yom Tov. You're eating on a Friday morning. You're eating on a Tuesday morning. So you don't know if you're going to have wine or not. And if you're going to have wine, you're not expecting to have a lot of wine. So then if they brought you wine, you made a brach on it, and you decide to have more, you recite a blessing on each cup, because each cup is considered, you know, you changed your mind. At first you thought you'd have one cup, and you said, you know what, let me have another one. So that type of thinking, each time is a new beginning. So it gets a new bracha of Boer Piyagafen. It, my name was also taught, Amarab Bar Mari, Amar Bishub and Levi, Lo Shana. We didn't learn this law that the blessing of wine before the meal works for the wine at the end of the meal. It's Ela B'Shabbos of Yom Tovim, that's on Shabbos and Yom Tov, or B'Shah Shadim Yotim Beitz HaMerech, that's when a person comes out of a bathhouse, or B'Shah Sakaz HaStam, where a person donated blood, or he had a bloodletting. He's tired afterwards, and he drinks a lot of wine, because in those cases, a person is establishing his meal on the wine. He's having a lot of wine at the meal. But during the other days of the year, he recites a separate blessing of thank you God for the fruit of the vine for each and every cup, because he drinks one cup, then he changes his mind, he's drinking another cup. He doesn't know he's going to have so many cups. So each cup gets its own blessing. Rabba Bar Mari, ikla lebei Rava b'chol. A story now to confirm this. Rabba Bar Mari once came to the house of Rava during the week. During the week is not Shabbos, it's not Yom Tov, it's not after a bath, it's not after donating blood. Chazia, he saw him to barach lifnei hamazon. He recited the blessing of Boer Piyagafen on the wine that was brought at the beginning. V'hadar barach l'achar hamazon. Then when they brought wine out for the dessert, he again recited the blessing of Boer Piyagafen. Amar lei. So, Rabbi Bar Mari told Rava Yasher, you're doing well. Shkayach. You should be strengthened. Keep on doing this. Because you're following the halacha. Even though it's seemingly against the Mishnah says if you say a blessing on the wine before, you don't need to say a blessing on the wine after. But we've understood that the Mishnah doesn't really mean that. The Mishnah means on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. If you say a blessing on the wine before, you don't need to say a blessing on the wine after. But since it was during the week, it was good that he said a blessing before and after. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yishuv Levi. Rabbi Yishuv Levi also said a similar story. Said a similar law. Said the same law. So it's good that you did like Rabbi Yishuv Levi. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. As we saw before, he said Rabba Bar Mari. He said the name of Rabbi Yishuv Levi. So that's a Rabba Bar Mari. He said to Rav, he did very well. I'm teaching that this is what Rabbi Yishuv Levi says, that during the week, each cup gets its own blessing. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Ikul Abay Abaye. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef came to the home of Abaye the Yom Tov. Chazid Baruch HaKol Kasa V'Kasa. So he saw him making a blessing on each cup of wine. He said a Baruch Piyagaf for the wine before, a Baruch Piyagaf and then with the later cup of wine. So I'm like, I said, I understand. What about our Mishnah? Don't you agree with what Rabbi Yishuv Levi said? That on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you know you're going to have a lot of wine, so one Baruch Piyagafen covers all of it. Amalei said, no, I don't know that I'm going to have a lot of wine. I don't like wine. Nimelchana. I'm changing my mind each time. I figured I'll have a little bit. Then I decide I'll have a little bit more. So each time, I have to say a new bracha.
That happens a lot when you're drinking.
Right, depends how good the wine is.
You say brachas while you're inebriated.
Yeah, it all depends what vintage you have. Right? No. Yeah, because if it's vinegar...
But
he didn't know he was going to have so much. He keeps changing his mind. Okay, I'll have some more. So each time he needs to recite another blessing. Ibailu, that a question in the yeshiva. We're talking about wine before the meal and then wine after the meal. What about wine in the middle of the meal? Can that exempt the wine that comes after the meal? In terms of law, if you're going to think to say, if you'll argue, you might say, if he recites a blessing on wine before meal, that will exempt the wine that comes at the end of the meal. Both of those wines are similar wines. It's wine to drink. Wine to create appetite, wine to satisfy. Avalacha, but when you drink in the middle of a meal, the wine has a different role. Zelishtos, the wine at the end of the meal is to drink it. Zelishos, the wine in the middle of the meal is to soak the food. The food's in the intestines, it needs some liquid in there. You want to, you know, put some wine in it. It's a different role. So maybe a wine that's playing a different role, the Bori Priya Guffin for that role can't work for the Bori Priya Guffin.
From the cocktail hour.
For the cocktail hour, right? It's a different type of drinking. Maybe you'll tell me there's no difference. So different opinions here amongst the Amoraim. Rav Amar Pota. Rav says the wine in the middle of the meal also will exempt the dessert wine. Rav Kahana Amar Rav Kahana says, Eino Poter. No, the wine in the middle of a meal will not exempt the blessing requirement for the dessert wine. Rav Nachman Amar Pota. Rav Nachman says the wine in the middle of the meal will exempt the blessing requirement for the dessert wine. Rav Sheshes Amar Eino Poter. Rav Sheshes says, no, the wine in the middle of the meal is wine to, you know, soak it. It doesn't work for the wine at the end of a meal. Rav Huna and all the students of Rav said, Eino Poter, the wine in the middle of a meal will not exempt the wine at the end of a meal. Esvei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav challenged Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, again, in this list, said Poter, that the wine in the middle will exempt the wine at the end.
Sorry, when they say the wine at the end, they mean after Birkat
HaMazon? No. Before Birkat HaMazon, wine with the desserts. So now Rav, a challenge of Nachman, we learned in our Mishnah. Balem yayin b'toch hamazon, if wine is brought to them in the middle of the meal, kol echad v'yachad mevarech la'atzmo, each person recites his own blessing on the wine. Ma'achar hamazon, if wine came after the meal, echad mevarech l'kulon, one recites a blessing for all, so it sounds like it's the same case, the same meal. They brought wine in the middle of the meal, so each one recited a blessing. Now they bring wine at the end of the meal for the dessert. One person says a blessing, but apparently the blessings that were said for the wine of the middle did not exempt the wine of the end. What would you say to explain that? Because the wine of the middle is to soak things, and the wine at the end is to drink, to have the taste. Amalei said to him, Hachika Amai, this is what it means. It's two different cases. If they bring wine in the middle of a meal, everyone recites a blessing. And then, Imlo Balahem Yain B'toch HaMazon, if wine was not brought in the middle of a meal, and there's only wine brought at the end of a meal, Eloli Achra Amazon, only after the meal, Echa Mevarech L'Kulon, one recites the blessing for all. But if there's wine in the middle of the meal, maybe like we had all these opinions, maybe that does work for the wine after the meal. All right, Lahalacha, we paskin, that wine in the middle of a meal would not work for wine at the end of a meal, because wine of the middle of the meal is to soak things. Wine at the end of the meal is to drink it. But then we paskin that really we never have a wine at the end of the meal, because we always have food on the table. And so our wine, it's not like those days. In those days, they take away all the food and they have, you know, like a post-meal cocktail, after party. It's not what we do. We have wine. We still have desserts on the table. So all of our wine is considered wine in the middle of the meal. And the blessing in the middle works for the dessert too.
Why is there so much preoccupation with wine here?
Isn't it amazing? So old culture of Jews drinking wine. Jews were always into wine.
They had pizza, they had everything else.
You say a bar pack up and leave.
Yeah, but
I mean, you said it did cover.
No,
when we say the after the meal, we mean before benching, the wine of desserts.
Oh, after
the
meal, before
the pork. The wine.
But I have a question here. Obviously that if you drink the wine during the meal, each one is eating at his own pace. Each one is washing it down at its own pace, depending on how he feels or when he needs it. So it makes sense that each one is doing his own bracha. At the end of the meal, they just say, L'chaim, and they let's go. And then there's one person that
makes the bracha for everyone.
Makes the bracha for everyone because it's a communal drinking party.
Good.
That point.
Beautiful. All right, going now to Beis Shammai.
I have one question. The wine before the meal is not covered for the wine in the middle of the meal. After you wash, you have to bring it up again. Right?
Presumably, yeah.
In other words, on each cup, you're asked to say a bracha. Like, how long does the first guffin last you? I think that's what you're saying.
I'm saying when you say break your guffin before you wash.
Yes.
And then you
you're
wash.
You're saying kiddush.
When you drink wine, do you
well, it all depends.
Break your guffin again, right?
No, you know it's coming, so you're... Oh, practically, you don't. You know it's coming, so... Birkel Apas. You made a bracha on bread. The Mishnah says, Patras HaPaparas, that exempts the appetizers. Allah HaPaparas, you make a bracha on appetizers, Lopatras HaPas. It doesn't exempt the bread. B'shami say Aflo Maisik there. It also didn't exempt, you know, cooked porridge. Yibayilu had a question in the yeshiva. B'shami Aresha Pligi, Yodum Al-Seifa Pligi. B'shami arguing with the first line or the second line. The Tanakam said, Birkel Apas, Patras HaPaparas. If he makes a bracha on the bread, he exempts the appetizers. So implicit in that is that certainly a bracha on bread would work for porridge, for a daisa, for cream of wheat. You're coming to say, not only does the bracha on bread not work for the appetizers, the bracha on bread also doesn't even work for the porridge. Maybe I save a plea. It's arguing on the last point. Ketani said in the last point, if you make a blessing on the appetizers, that doesn't work for the bread. Just mean to make hamotzi on the bread. Maybe pass it to lo pater. Doesn't work on the bread. But it does work for the oatmeal. If you make a bracha on your puff pastry with potatoes inside, you made a mezonos on the puff pastry, that works for the oatmeal that you then eat. Beshamim is saying, no, if you make a bracha on the puff pastry, it doesn't work on the oatmeal. If you maisek deir namilo pot, it doesn't work for the oatmeal. But he's not talking about bread. Bread would work maybe for oatmeal. Take it, we don't know what is the view of Beit Shammai. Then the Mishnah said, Yoshvin, if they're sitting to eat, each one makes a blessing. Hesebu, but if they recline, then one person makes a blessing for all. Says the Gemara, Hesebu in. If they recline, that makes it one meal. Lo Hesebu, if they're not reclining, lo. Or minu, but I'll challenge you. Again, nowadays this doesn't apply because we never recline. I'll challenge you. We learned, Asara Holcha Mederach, 10 people walking on a road, even though they're all eating out of one loaf, each one makes his own blessing. But Yashvu Lechol, if they sit to eat, even if they're all eating from their own loaves, one makes a blessing for all. Katani Yashvu, it says, even though they sit, even if they're not reclining. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, no. Really, reclining is what makes it all one meal, but there's something which is as good as reclining. Going to Amri, such as where they said, let's go and eat bread in the following place. And now a story. When Rav passed away, so his students escorted him for the burial. When they came back from the burial, Amri, they said, let's go eat bread at the Donk River. As they sat to eat, they all sat down. Now the question. Hesedu davka tzan. Do we each make a blessing, or does one make a blessing? Is it when the Mishnah says they recline that you have to be reclining? Avoyashvulo, sitting not. We're all sitting. Since we said let's go eat bread in a particular place, that's as good as all reclining. They didn't know the answer. So come, Rav Adar Bar Ahava got up. Apparently, you see, you're supposed to tear clothing for the loss of your Rebbe. He took his shirt around. He turned the tear to the back of the shirt, and again, and then he tore his shirt again. Amri, he said, "Nach nafshid Rav, our teacher Rav passed away." And we didn't even learn the blessings. We didn't even learn the laws of the blessings of Birkas Hamazon. Adasa Usaba, until an elderly man came, Ramlu Mastis and Abraisa. He challenged them between the Mishnah and this Braisa, the people walking. Shani Lui gave the answer that we gave. Came with Aminez of Anechalach Maduchna Plat. Once they said, let's go and eat bread in a particular place, Kesevu Damu, that's the equivalent of reclining. And therefore, one can recite the blessing for all.